Hi, and welcome to Daytime Bible Study at Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, and we're going to resume our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're still in chapter 2, so go ahead and get your Bibles out. And as you're turning there, we'll go ahead and we'll open in prayer. Father, we give thanks to you for your word. We thank you for all of the promises that are in your word that apply to us through our risen Savior. Thank you so much, Lord, for your spirit working here on earth to save people, to draw people to Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for the redemptive work that your spirit is doing here on earth. Now, Lord, use us to reach others who still do not yet believe. I thank you, Lord, for every person who is hearing this broadcast, Lord. I thank you for them, Lord. And I just pray that your word would have the effect upon them that you want it to have, Lord. Reach hearts today and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're beginning in at verse 13. So go ahead and follow along, please. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And Paul writes, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now, I know we talked about this briefly last week, but I just kind of wanted to point out that the in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, the Apostle John there writes, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his son." So in everyday life, we constantly accept the word of people that we interact with. So since we do this in everyday life, how much more should we trust the word of God, who cannot fail and cannot lie? It's unreasonable for us not to believe God. His witness is absolutely credible. And that was the point that I wanted to make for verse 13. So that was the reason I wanted to go there. Let's go ahead and continue now. We're going to today cover verses 14 through 16. Paul writes, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Now, last week we talked about how dearly Paul loved the people that he ministered to. And I tried to underscore the importance of us cherishing the ones that the Lord allows us to minister to. It's a truly, truly wonderful privilege and honor to be able to discuss Jesus Christ with someone. It's also a remarkable honor and privilege to be able to walk with someone as they're growing in their faith, or to have someone walk with us as we're growing in our faith. But I wanted to point out to you here that Paul had not always been this loving towards Christians. His newfound love of Christians is testimony to the redemptive work of the Spirit of God that was at work within him. In verse 14, as Paul applauds the Thessalonians for their steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, he also drops a very subtle hint about his own troubled past. So to help us see this, let's first refresh our memory of what the Thessalonian church endured as it was being established. In Acts 17, for example, we learned that the Jews in Thessalonica, who were not persuaded by Paul's preaching, well, they became envious of Paul and took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob and set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city. So in Thessalonica, people who believed in Jesus Christ were being beaten and dragged from their homes to face false criminal charges, resulting in fines and, in some cases, imprisonment. Now, this is what Paul is referring to in his letter when he says in verse 14 that the Thessalonians became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen just as they did from the Judeans. So, as the apostles had been working to establish the first ever church on earth, Acts 8 verse 1 tells us that at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But look at this. Acts chapter 8 verse 3 specifically informs us that Paul was counted among those Jews who persecuted the churches throughout Judea. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. It's the same thing we saw happen to this church in Thessalonica. Angry, envious Jews broke into these people's homes, beat them up, and dragged them out of their own homes. And of course, we also know from Acts chapter 13, verse 9, that Saul is indeed Paul. So as Paul is considering the hardships and sufferings that the Thessalonian Christians had to face, there can be no doubt that he remembers how he himself had previously tormented Christians. The transformation that took place in Paul was the result of the Holy Spirit. Paul went from hating the church to loving the church as Christ does. Paul went from hating Christians to loving them in the same way that a nursing mother loves her infant children. And Paul went from doing all he could to destroy the lives of Christians to doing all that he could to build them up, just as a father protects and encourages his own children. So Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God produced this fruit within Paul to great abundance. 1 John 3, verse 14 explains, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." This is redemption. In our natural state, all of us are like Saul. We're rebellious against the Lord, and at times we're even rebellious against his people. However, we can all be like Paul, humbly walking with the Lord and serving him by loving his people. And we can only achieve this if we surrender ourselves to God's will and allow his Spirit to work within us to transform us and bear fruit. Spiritual fruit in Paul's life and in the lives of present-day believers is God's testimony that Jesus Christ is Savior and Redeemer. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And Jesus says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment." So Paul further explains in verses 15 and 16 that these go away into everlasting punishment because they do not please God, and they fill up the measure of their sins. Wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. This would have been Paul had he not repented and surrendered himself to the Lord. This would have been me had I not repented and surrendered myself to the Lord. And this will certainly be you if you do not surrender yourself to the Lord and repent. It's important for us to see that the good news of the gospel is this, that all who believe in Jesus Christ are delivered from the wrath to come. We cannot understand why we need to be saved if we don't know what it is we need to be saved from. Jesus Christ is the only one who saves. Salvation is possible only because Jesus sacrificed his life for us and bled to death on a cross. God has given us his word so we can know that all who believe in Jesus will be redeemed and will have everlasting life. Those who reject Jesus, those who will not believe in him and refuse to accept him as Savior, well, they'll face God's wrath. And God's wrath is everlasting punishment. The choice we make in this life will result in one of only two possible outcomes: redemption or wrath. Make the right choice today. Don't wait any longer. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Let him begin working in your life today the way that he worked in Paul's life. Father, thank you for redeeming us by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you laid down your life for us and that you made salvation possible for us. We realize, Lord, had you not done so, we certainly would have faced your wrath. There is no escape from having faced your wrath other than through faith in Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father, that you would help all of us, Lord, who are believers. Help us to be about your business here on earth, spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting people know that there is hope. There is hope in Christ. People can be saved, can be redeemed, Lord, if they would just simply turn from their sinful ways and acknowledge you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and may God keep you safe and healthy. Bye-bye.